And good morning, good morning, good morning. And you are now in the company of me, Dwight, here on the Tech Eagle, on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And this is a brand new week with not much, you know, in terms of the, I don't want to call it a disturbance or disruption, but last week we did have the continued coverage or the extensive coverage regarding the fish shot bail application that had taken place last week with much sort of like overlapping into the time frame wherein your favorite tech show, the Tech Eagle, could actually, you know, continue on terms of providing you the tech analysis and tech discussions that we do so on a daily basis. Now, getting into today's session, which is the first session for this week, the second week of February. Yes, I hope a lot of you are not thinking about the, you know, the Valentine's Day's, you know, shenanigans that you wish to get up to for next week. We are still in this week. Let's think about the tech discussions for this week, for today. And we are continuing where we left off in terms of the blogging versus vlogging discussion. Now, guys, as just to recap and just as to center you on the discussion regarding blogging versus vlogging. Blogging specifically, or actually both of them, do have their roots in something known as a diary, or just taking diary notes of your daily events and daily interactions and daily sort of like daily, you know, escapades and expeditions. Now that's diarizing something, putting something. I'm not using diarizing in the sense of you know, setting down an appointment for a meeting for a specific date and time. No, diarizing means writing down the day's events, observations, interactions, most interesting aspects for the day's highlights. And that is what a diary actually sets out to do. Just you accounting for your day's events in of your life in that one specific set time frame. Now, vlogging, which is actually video blogging, and blogging, which is actually sort of like a digital format of talking about specific discussion points, both have their roots in diarizing. Now, our discussion for today will center on this vlogging versus blogging element. However, we'll quickly be stepping into a short ad break, and from that ad break, we'll come right back, heading into the rest of the discussion. Stay tuned. Here with me, Dwight, on your number one talk radio station, and this is the Tech Eagle.
To our valued listeners and all Namibians, we are living in unprecedented times, which have seen some extraordinary steps being taken, some of which have suspended the most basic of human rights.
And this is because for the first time ever since our country won its independence, we have been hit by a dangerous virus, which is a threat to our livelihoods, the COVID-19.
The situation calls for us not to panic, but to work together and eradicate the spread of the virus. At Eagle FM, we urge you to always wash your hands with soap or use hand sanitizers.
Limit or avoid travel and respect our laws and obey authority.
We have the answer, and we will fight this the Namibian way. As Namibians, together, as one Namibia, one nation. Let's stand together against COVID-19.
The first free-range eggs produced and...
Now, coming back from that short break right there, we step in, we get back into where we left off just before it. Now, as mentioned, just getting some basics done. In terms of the key difference between the two elements of blogging versus vlogging is that mainly the one incorporates a lot more text than the other, while the other one incorporates a lot more video footage. Now, what does this mean? A blog, specifically, is a website or either a web page that updates regularly, while a vlog is usually a social media account or a personal website where videos of different topics or posts are posted regularly. Now, at present, many people tend to earn money using both these platforms. Therefore, many individuals of different cultures and social levels, businesses as well as corporate sectors, upload various content based on the wide variety of subject matter and products on blogs and vlogs. However, there has to be one significant thing to be taken into consideration, the earning potential. In terms of a blog, usually you would find sort of like what you would see in happen in newspapers, you know, someone posting up like banner advertising or small sections of advertising would be incorporated on a blog. This is slightly, I wouldn't say lucrative, guys, because with there are very few people that blog like daily. It's all about setting a routine. The same also for vlogging. Vlogging is easier to do, but just for you to balance out the two, I'll highlight the, you know, the, how the two sequences work or how the two aspects work. In the discussion where we left off in terms of when we began with vlogging versus blogging, I mentioned, the YouTube platform specifically. Now, YouTube is now the world's most famous video sharing or video viewing or video uploading platform, because anyone can make a video on your mobile phone, on a standard digital camera phone, a camera, and then, you know, upload said content to your YouTube channel. If you have a YouTube profile, or if you have a Google profile or a Google account, a Google account for that matter, sorry. And you can take it from there, because YouTube is owned by Alphabet. Alphabet is the parent company of Google. Now, there's this one thing that Google includes on its YouTube platform, which is known as the Google AdSense. Google AdSense is the manner in which advertising can be incorporated on your video channel or on your, that's now your YouTube channel. That's if you have a regular schedule of setting up videos, uploading videos, editing videos, as well as also the various other elements that you incorporate in order to, you know, to get your message out there in terms of your videos. You have to understand, guys, it's not like a ready, steady, set, go formula. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme either. It's not a scheme in order to get you somewhere very quickly. Why do I say this? Because a lot of video vloggers or YouTube streamers, as they are called, or content creators is the other phrase that they use. A lot of those guys have had more video channels for like a year with almost nothing subscriptions. So if you hear the thing about making money first, I'm going to warning you now and just informing you. Do not go in it for the money. Whatever you do, don't first go in it for the money, because ultimately you will disappoint yourself. In terms of making video or becoming a content creator or something like that, guys, there are people that have been uploading content on YouTube for 10 years and they don't even have 1,000 subscriptions. They don't even have 10,000 views. They don't even have 100 likes for their videos, because the Google algorithms use these three aspects in order to firstly either further promote your video. They also view or measure how popular your video becomes, and they also look at the amount of subscribers that actually come back and view your stuff. So it's a sort of like a multifaceted platform where they measure how good your content is, and based upon if it's good, meaning mostly positive reviews or mostly positive interactions and that you get viewed, then they will start, you know, they will approach you. If it's not, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of things that can also go wrong. However, you can start a vlog just for the fun of it. That's why a YouTube channel is for free. Well, the only thing you'll actually be paying for is actually your data and energy, you know, depending on where you stay. You can start it for free. Use it for fun, generate your own stuff, and go with it. I mean, just to let you know, as an example, there was there's a child, actually, that's the richest YouTube vlogger. Just for the child's safety, I won't mention it, but the current content creator or person earning the most is, the child should now be 10, I think, or 12, 10 or 12. But what happened was that the child's parents decided to make videos of how the child interacts with toys. New toys, not even the latest toys, just toys. How the child interacts with toys. And then they started uploading. And this was just for fun. And since they did that every week, they would buy a new toy for the child, and the child would then interact with the toy. The parents then realized they were actually getting a lot of views. From that, obviously, Google AdSense allows you, if you reach a certain threshold, meaning a certain quantity of subscribers, a certain quantity of views, and a certain quantity of likes, because they use all three to determine whether your content is noteworthy or has positive feedback. They started monetizing their channel, and then the channel from there on, the child's content has constantly been earning. However, there is an ethical aspect to that, because this is making content of a child, generating video content of a child. A second onto that is also, it's all about understanding, when a child's identity can be exposed to a general public, in terms of broadcast media, in that sense. And, that's just one of the other other side of the discussion that should also be taken into consideration. That's now for if any of you decide to do the same thing, please understand, that you need consent from the guardians. You need consent from whoever is the parent or the guardian. If it's an underage person that is being used for video content, just letting you know to stress this. And it's also not with here at Eagle FM, we do not actually actively encourage for you to do something like that. But if it's your child, just understand there is certain, legal things that you need to understand. However, if you're going to do blogging, meaning writing, meaning typing, it all depends on the platforms that you also make use of. There are various free platforms in blogging across the world. Stuff from WordPress, WordPress-based platforms, all the way to platforms, to Google-based platforms, and even Yahoo-based platforms. And you name it, the blogging platforms do exist. However, this is about you writing. So you will have a lot more time to plan, a lot more time to just, formulate how you wish to communicate stuff. But here's the thing, guys. The current scope of weighing up the opportunity to vlog and the opportunity to type and blog something, there's one thing here. On one side, you are actually sitting down and you have to type. Physically type, write out this whole session. On the opposite end, you've got someone that just takes their camera phone or their smartphone that has a camera on it, and they just start recording stuff. Whether it's them just talking or having a good time somewhere, or being out about in nature or in a public space, just recording the events and then you writing a short description of what the video shows. As opposed to you writing about the entire event on your blog, which is captured in that video on your blog, transcribing everything to, draw a picture to someone. The one has a major advantage over the other, that being the video element. Second onto this is with a vlog or a video blog. Just to stress, guys, it's one of the things that made YouTube so popular, specifically. Secondly, because of the free element. But it's one of the things that made YouTube so popular because there are countless possibilities for you to just, make videos about your day's interactions and stuff like that. As well as also, guys, remember, do not make anything that is that has explicit content in it or any violence in it. It will be taken down immediately. They do have mechanisms for that. The moment someone sees it, your channel can be closed. So also remember about your strategy, how to go about things, that if you're going to make use of either very offensive imaging or your content is going to be very offensive or disturbing to people, Just remember, it can be taken down and your account can be cancelled. So if you're gonna go out there just to try and be controversial, forget about it. There are mechanisms already on that platform to prevent such behavior. Because YouTube has gotten into trouble before because of such content that people could find on YouTube. Now, if we have a look in terms of the aspects of what is a blog specifically and what is a vlog specifically. Now, I've given you the two platforms. It's mostly about writing. However, a blog in its entirety can be identified as a website, meaning if I have daily interactions regarding, just what I've been doing here at work, let me say I'm writing a blog about today's program, vlog versus a blog. So the blog would be in my name, and the blog would be talking about the pros and cons of a blog, the pros and cons of a vlog, the technology associated to either platform. It will be based upon such a notion or such a direction that you wish to take in terms of, just what you want to share with this readership. Now, here's the other weird thing, guys. With a blog specifically, you will reach a small amount of people, a truly small amount of people. Second on to that is also, if you consider the aspect of the World Wide Web, meaning the internet itself, you'll be like a drop of water in a very big ocean. A very, very big ocean. Remember what I told you in the beginning of this discussion. If you think you're going out there to get rich quick scheme and you want to make money and you want to become a starlet, it won't happen overnight, guys. It will not. So just get that out of your mind from the get-go. It won't. But the aspect of if you are someone that is into writing, into storytelling, into doing something or just something like that, but you have a knack for codifying it, meaning putting it in text, go for it. A blog is one of the best platforms that you can do so. A blog can also be linked into your various social media platforms. If you have multiple social media platforms, for example, Twitter, your Gmail account, your Facebook account. If you want to incorporate something on your Instagram account, you can do so. If you have a Snapchat account, I just don't know how that will work out with Snapchat. If you have a TikTok account, you can make it run. If you have a Reddit account, you can make it run. However, with a blog, the text is usually written in an informal or conversational style. So you've got to also strategize on how you're going to do this. Am I going to be someone that's going to be very, unorthodox, meaning it's not going to be formal, a formal thing that I'm writing. It's going to be something that's familiar, something talking about a discussion or a topic that I'm familiar with, or a discussion point that you would assume a lot of people are familiar with. Or if you did like a little research about just something that pops to mind and you bounced it off a few friends or a few family members just to gauge what their perspective is about it. And you go jot it down on your blog and you start broadcasting it. That's the type of way that a blog actually features. Remember, I'm talking about that it resembles something closely to what if you had like a diary, a daily diary of your events, that's what it would almost resemble. Because you would be very informal if you're just recounting what your day's events were based upon, if what your day's events had incorporated or covered or was indicating towards. Now, the nice thing about a blog, guys, it's on your name. However, if you're going to also be offensive on it, it's going to advertise your name. I'm just going to warn you about it. It's going to be informal, so you will have freedom of, whatever you want to write about. But here's the thing. If you're going to be offensive as well, or you're going to include offensive discussion points to people, or thought-provoking discussion points, or even just controversial discussion points, just remember, it'll be on your name as well. If you're going to be someone that's going to hide behind a pen name, people will see right through it. Remember? Readers are very quick to pick up things, guys. So I'm just going to warn you as well. For those of you who also want to be aspiring writers in your life, a reader will identify gaps. A reader actually looks for patterns. You know that. Reading is one of the best ways of identifying code, because words, text, sentences, letters form part of coding. It's not just about coding or understanding it in the IT sense. Coding in terms of writing this paragraph that I've got here open in front of me is one of the essential ways of coding. Your brain is practicing. And when your brain practices and gets fixated on a pattern, it'll identify it very quickly. Now, just also know that blogs are now a popular source of information on various kinds of topics. However, if you try to, you know, do a little search engine search, a little Google search regarding blogs, just, you know, or topics on blogs, it'll be very difficult, guys, to get through all those suggestions that pop up. It'll be a mountain of information that you'll be actually be, you know, pummeled under. Now, just remember that in terms of the topics, they can go in, they have a wide range of anything. Obviously, you can also throw it into a wide range of languages. If you are proficient, and if you feel that you can actually tell a story better in your mother tongue or in a language that you have good level of exposure to, do it. Now, as mentioned, blogs are now a popular source of information on various kinds of topics. Blogs are also used as marketing and communication tools. So they are used as sort of like a salient marketing method, meaning it's almost like having direct messaging to your email or to your WhatsApp profile. You know, when people or even like on a WhatsApp status, that's that type of marketing. It gets very personal. It's to someone that can or that has access to your platform. Now, second onto that is the usage of blogs began in the early 90s when the dot-com companies began. The dot-com companies was the first internet bubble as it is encapsulated or explained under. A lot of companies popped up. That's also during the same period where the two biggest companies that have survived that internet bubble, that being Amazon and that being eBay, actually came from. They began in the 90s. They began under where there was this major boom, and both of them actually survived because not all internet companies actually survived the internet bubble from the 90s. So the blog was seen as the first instance of, you know, for anyone to communicate with anyone across the world, because the internet is still almost like that last frontier for humanity in order to just get your message out there, you know, just to talk, communicate with people around the world. Now, we are almost at the halfway point of today's program of the Tech Eagle. I just wanted to stress this as well. In terms of rules of engagement, if the phone lines for on-air contributions and discussions will be open from now at 11:30, just a minute from now. So if there's something you wanted to ask regarding having a YouTube channel, having a, you know, or either a blog in terms of, you know, starting a blog, what are the essentials to look at? You can come through on 083-288-401. We'll have your discussion here on air. Answer a few questions if you have a few questions. And second on to that is also if you feel like there's something you wanted to add, or if you feel one of the two options would be the best, you can come through. We can have the discussion here on air. Nonetheless, returning back to this, to our blogging versus vlogging. Now, there are different kinds of content in a blog. A blog can have animations, it can have photographs, and it can have a wide range of text. Now, through blogs, people can find information on a broad range of topics as well. Usually, a blog gains its popularity by the level of the content that it uploads. So, this is talking about having schedules. This is talking about having a routine. Because, like people who watch TV for their favorite soap operas or for their favorite miniseries or TV series, they know which time it would come on. They know. because the time has become a sort of like a fixed aspect that allows them to think about it and then go like, oh, okay, I remember this is the time that it happens and this is the time that we need to include it. However, a blog is only as strong if you incorporate more content or if you have more content writing, and it will then be able to attract more people. Remember, if you generate a following yourself, because this is what it boils down to. I'm using now social media referencing, but this is basically what it boils down to. Generating a following specifically for you. Now at present, there are a large number of blogs, mainly because of the less cost of creating and maintaining them, which is true. Google gives you a free one. If you have a Google account, it's there for free. If you have a Yahoo account, I think they still have theirs. They still have theirs. And secondly onto that is also there's other free blog platforms. But remember, guys, it's about knowing your discussion point, knowing your topic. Then there are also different platforms that support blogs, such as Joomla, Drupal, Blogger, and WordPress. Now, Blogger is the one associated to Google. It's the Google one. You get personal blogs, collaborative blogs, and then corporate blogs. Corporate blogs are sort of like niche communication platforms. This is for employees or employers in an organization, just to let you know. And it almost resembles something like being on a company WhatsApp group. Almost. I say almost. Second on that is you got collaborative blogs, which is owned by a group of people. And firstly, the personal blogs run or managed or actually administered by one individual. Now you get to a vlog. And a vlog is the thing that we've all been seeing for whoever has a Gmail account or a smartphone. You've had access to YouTube. One at one point in your life or even today or just yesterday. And in terms of a video blogging, which a vlog actually stands for, a vlog is just the informal word for video blog. Video blogging has brought me actually in contact with a lot of content creators from around the world. There's one guy that I watch for one of my most interesting discussion points, which is actually based upon comic books or anime or manga. I almost said anime, but I'm no longer on anime. On manga. Manga is just Japanese comics. But he speaks about a specific one. For those of you who are One Piece followers and fanatics, the guy's name is Grand Line Review, and he speaks about a specific comic. Interesting points, interesting theories that they throw about. Remember, this is just his personal perspectives. Second one is another one that I actually started on our discussion of vlogging was the traveler by whose channel name is Bald and Bankrupt. And I mean, this guy takes you to places, guys, that you would not, I would say, traditionally see on a travel channel. He's gone to places like Estonia, places like Latvia, places like the other side of Russia. What I mean by the other side of Russia is like, you know, going into sort of like historical USSR towns or historical Soviet sites, stuff like that. You know, things that you don't see on a mainstream travel channel. He's gone to a sort of like a beach resort in India where predominantly the tourists there are Russian. And what has happened is that where you would expect predominantly, you know, people in the local community would speak English, they don't speak English. They speak predominantly Russian. So it gets you these interactions, like on the ground interactions of what the situation is. And then he shows it to his following. But what he's actually doing is his video blogging. Because it's very good for people to see sort of like content by the eye and hear it by the ear, and also, you know, see moving images and people talking and communicating right there, as opposed to seeing it, you know, or having to read about Dwight's blog, about his travels to a specific sort of like holiday resort in India where he only encountered people speaking Russian because no one speaks English. So if you weigh up the balances, it's all about, you know, what do you want to do and how do you want to do it and what do you want to say in it? Now, I also have to stress, guys, a lot of the traditional media, just to draw you back, just to pull you back into the discussion there where we ended off just before our programming got disrupted for last week, in terms of all the bail hearing, in the fish rod bail hearings, was the notion where France and I left off in terms of the digital media. Now, the digital media has sort of like changed the whole game. This is where a lot of people can actually access and have access to and can also at the same time generate their own content for that matter. Because in terms of what YouTube allows, YouTube gives you something known as, you know, sort of like a fair use policy as well. Meaning you don't pirate or you don't steal someone's content or idea, but you can actually talk about it, incorporate it in your video to sort of like generate a discussion about it, and then you go there in terms of talking about it. So if you're not someone that loves the great outdoors, meaning you walk down in your street into the bushes, God forbid that you don't, you know, encounter any wild animal in the bushes. If you're not someone like that who's, you know, a fearless traveler, a fearless explorer, adventurer, and you actually want to talk about, let's say, what did, you know, the cat say to the dog type of discussion at home, why not? Do it. All you need perhaps is just your phone, record the video and the sound, make sure everything is fine, and then you can upload it. Because remember, if you're doing this to get a quicker name in the showbiz or in sort of like getting to, getting somewhere, even if you're an artist, if you want to do like your own a cappella sessions at home, that's now if you're standing with your brush, your hairbrush in your hand, and you're just, you know, singing songs of your favorite artist, do it. That's the whole aspect of a video blogging. But if you're thinking about doing this to get somewhere very quickly, remember, it will not always be the same formula that will work for everyone. Just putting that out there. Now, in terms of video blogging or vlogging, this derives from its name, as mentioned, where video and blog were sort of like incorporated together, or video and log. Now, log is actually something that has its reference to naval or to maritime, or naval or maritime traveling. Maritime traveling is by sea, where captains of ships, or the ships of the captain of a ship, had a captain's log. A captain's log, I suspect, is still used to today in modern day maritime travel, because you need, as the captain, you need to record destination, time, date, everything. Because it's just, you know, something that they have to record in terms of the ship's logs or the captain's logs to indicate course, where you were going and what you were doing and for what reason. Now, vlogs are websites, or they can be websites, or they are social media accounts that are owned by individuals or groups of people. Now, remember, guys, YouTube is on a website. It is actually a website. It's not a social media. You can't consider YouTube as a social media. It isn't. However, your Facebook account is a social media account or a social media platform. So looking at the two instances, both of them have the same function, meaning they can incorporate video content from you. However, it's all about what their uses are based on and who they're going to target in this regard. Second on that is also, guys, you have to understand when you're going to become a vlogger, it depends on the message. Just like in blogging, it depends on the message and it depends on the content. Based on the various topics like marketing, technology, like what I'm doing here right now, talking about these two technology trends, as well as also looking at current affairs or even fashion, or even just looking at if you're someone that loves cars, you start looking at cars. Or if you're someone that loves talking about the latest baby clothing trends, do that. It will, you know, it's just something for you to get into a routine to. It'll keep you busy to you know, one aspect, but it'll something to get you into a routine to, a short routine, however. Now, in terms of vlogging, some vlogs can support imagery or text and can be used with it as well. You get some very fancy guys, especially on YouTube, that, you know, you can see that they put a lot of effort into the visuals that they're using, because this can be something like, you know, proper animated graphics to tell a story. And it's some really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. Then you get other guys that are just, you know, it's just his face there right in front of the screen. And they use a lot of quirky editing gimmicks or editing sort of like tricks. I'd call it tricks. But it's cool stuff because you actually, you know, it's a form of, you know, being seen and creating something to be seen or to be looked for or to be looked at. And this just gets the following generating, you know, at that same space. However, if you have to look at when vlogging began in the greater space of the technology world, vlogging started in the early 2000s. And this was within a few years, it quickly gained popularity. Now, the most popular vlogging platforms, as mentioned, are Facebook and YouTube. In addition, there are also platforms like Vimeo and Dailymotion. Now, Dailymotion is actually the first one of these guys that began, because Dailymotion began shortly afterwards. It was Vimeo, then YouTube came along, but YouTube had certain requirements before it was bought over by Google, in the sense that you could only access YouTube from specific places around the world. Then they became like open to everyone. Then it was required that you needed to have a YouTube account, so you could sign up for a YouTube account. But that made things a bit tedious, because when Google bought YouTube over, you now had to think about or weigh up the option, do I still use my YouTube login details, or do I now use my Google or Gmail or Google account login details? Because what Google does is Google gives you access to almost every bit of technology that they own. That's what they do. They give you access to every bit of technology that you own. Now, the one upside is, for sure, in terms of when Google bought YouTube, you know, you could just sign in with your Gmail address. However, on something like Dailymotion and Vimeo, which has actually been there longer than YouTube itself, the navigation wasn't as clear as with YouTube. Because with YouTube, could give you a nice big presentation. However, with Vimeo, anyone could upload any quality of content. And on top of that also was, you know, the search parameters. If you wanted to search for something, it wasn't as clear as well, you know, with Dailymotion. Vimeo, I know, was something that was actually begun for music artists. However, Vimeo is somehow linked now to YouTube, because you see Vimeo ads for artists on YouTube, but you don't see YouTube videos on Vimeo platform. And Vimeo also can be deceptive, because it almost looks like a YouTube platform. Almost. I say almost. The whole layout, the window, the screen, everything. I say almost, because it almost does look like you're on a YouTube platform. Now, the initial cost in vlogging, if you're going to set a start, you know, beginning with vlogging itself, the initial cost in vlogging can be more expensive, since it needs high quality cameras. Yes, guys, even though I said you can use any camera, or digital camera for that matter, YouTube itself has some parameters that they've stressed. They want some seriously high quality stuff. Stuff that you can actually, the reason for that is they want to give the viewer, the person viewing your video, the option to see it in various sort of like quality levels. So you've got the smallest level. If you remember, just getting back to the frame size or the aspect ratio size that I began this year, 2022's Tech Eagle on, in terms of understanding screen size or frame size or a monitor size, they've got 720p, then they go up in the levels in terms of where 720p is your standard definition. Then you get into the high definition, then you get into the full high definition, and then you get ultra high definition, and there's the 4K standard. Now, that's the option that YouTube now, and many of these other video viewing platforms, except for Facebook, I suspect, except for Facebook. Facebook has one requirement on streaming. They want more streaming, because they're now actively on the streaming element. Streaming is more like you are broadcasting. You are now in the broadcasting sense. YouTube is a little bit more lenient. They allow for both either live broadcasting or you can upload, you know, have a regular schedule of content coming up. That works a lot better for a lot of content creators, because you have time to plan, time to then sort of like generate your content, and then time to polish it a bit, edit it a bit, and then post it. With streaming directly, that is ad hoc. So if you accidentally have used offensive language or bad language in your session on stream, on air, or, you know, live, people will see it. And it's how you take perspectives or perceptions of, you know, that people will have about you as a content creator. That's the, you'll have to, you know, sort of like live with that. Sort of like either, you can either view it as a mistake or either view it as a small error. Now, in the cost for your hardware, the hardware being your camera, the type of camera, guys, YouTube is very finicky about the quality, the content quality that you're going to be posting, or the content quality that you're going to be uploading. They're very finicky about it. As mentioned, they want it in such quality that people will have the option of either viewing it in 4K standard or 4K quality, or just in standard definition quality, 720p, 720 pixels. Adding on to that is also comes the aspect of sound quality. Vlogging is not just about straight, you know, shooting, you know, straight from the hip, like you're in a gunfight, you know, like in a cowboy book. No, it's not just about impromptu stuff. It's not just about ad hoc stuff. Sure, they work sometimes. Ad hoc, impromptu productions sometimes work. If you want to set a mood, sure, it works. But people want also, you know, proper sound quality associated to if you have a high definition video. You don't want to be lip reading the whole time during the video, making out what people are saying, then second guessing, is the sound clear? For example, you could be standing on a beach here at the coast, and you're now interviewing people without a microphone, and people have to sit like extra close to their speakers just to make out what did the guy respond to the question, because the device, the camera, might be able to pick up your question, the audio coming from, you know, from you. But when the person answering now back in a windy setup won't be able to be heard, because the sound is being blown away by the wind, and the wind is sort of like blowing over the microphone. And the microphone is, for example, let's say it's a one-directional microphone. So that one direction of sound is being distorted by wind blowing across the microphone itself. If it at least was an omnidirectional microphone, meaning omni, meaning every direction, it could then pick up if the sound traveled left or if the sound traveled right, depending on how the wind was blowing. But that's all, you know, just some of the sort of like discussion points that you will have to contend with if you are planning on becoming a vlogger or a content creator in the video aspect. Second on to that is also understanding, you know, the types of camera that you want to use, the type of microphones if you want to use any, and any other necessary tools. However, if you guys want to make use at looking at some impromptu examples, something like the one that travel guy that I sometimes view, Bold and Bankrupt, he does a lot of impromptu stuff. However, he also does not travel alone. I say not always, because in some cases he has had to hire a personal bodyguard of where he had to go to, or even a tour guide at that matter. And in other cases, he's also had to, he bumps into people, that he knows from his personal life, and then they travel with him. Now, it's about understanding also the kind of impromptu stuff that you want to incorporate. If you're going to set up a channel, guys, remember offensive images, offensive language, offensive stuff like that are the sort of the basics that you first have to cover and try to avoid. Because not everyone shares the same cup of tea in terms of, accepting foul language in video content. Or, just inappropriate stuff in that sense. That is also for you to understand why there is a age restriction on video content. For example, on TV, for example, on radio, for example, on certain digital platforms, they give you a warning in terms of let you know that this contains sensitive material or this contains sensitive stuff. Just let you know if you're going to do that. You also won't have many followers if you're going to have too much foul language and, overall offensive content in that manner. Second on that is also, the aspect of a vlogger. This is also, there is an upside if you have high quality, hardware in order for you to do your job or do your task. The task now obviously being that recording your daily events, your daily happenings. If you have high quality audio associated to your video content, it can attract a bigger audience in a short period. So the payoff can be exponential in terms of if you want to generate just a following. And that is a plus point. If you have audio that matches the video quality, great stuff. You'll be able to be a winner no time. However, vloggers can also later upload their videos freely or with fewer expenses. So just like with a blogging platform, a vlogger also has the option available to them wherein the platform itself is inexpensive. It's inexpensive in the sense that, there's not much costs. Aside from, electricity and data, that's all. And perhaps, time in terms of you need to edit stuff and, take out a few things from the video itself. Just taking in the last bits for today's discussion is the difference between the two. The main key difference, as mentioned, is that the content in a blog is more in a written form and in text, while the content in a vlog is more in video form. So just for you to balance that up in terms of which two of the approaches you want to take. And also, moreover, if vloggers use high quality videos with a pleasant voice and proper facial expressions, the messages can be more efficiently conveyed to the public via the vlogs rather than a blog. And this is also because most people today also prefer to watch videos than reading text. So, in that same sense also, if you want to make use of one of the two platforms, just remember, guys, strategize first in terms of what you want to do on this platform. This includes also what your discussion topics will be based upon, what your discussion topics will also, for how long, because you can't just be talking indefinitely for 10 minutes and people are just wondering, what are you actually saying? What are you trying to say? What are you trying to share? So you need to have a strategy in terms of what you want to communicate, and watch how you want to say it as well. This goes for both platforms, blogging and vlogging. However, with blogging, just remember, guys, you can share it with whoever you want to share it, or you can just use it as a diary session, meaning to diarize your day's events, to talk about what you did for the day, to talk about what happened for the day, to talk about what you exposed for the day. Vlogging, more impromptu, more flexible. You can do as you can improvise as you go along. You can talk about things as you view them or as you get exposed to them. And, you know, that's how the situation flows from there. We get into our last 5 minutes. And also, before we hand over to Sally and her brand conversation discussion points, just to let you know, in terms of the aspects for blogging and vlogging, that you always need to be clear, guys, in planning. However, for anyone that is still thinking about coming through, unfortunately, and just as I was about to say it, the line starts flashing. But nonetheless, let's first get this caller in. ELFM, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, and you?
Cool.
Angabwana, how are you doing? Why are you saying sir, Angabwana?
You see, sometimes we need to follow the formality. So otherwise, we get lost, you know.
No, it's 100%.
So, how are you doing?
I'm all right,
so,
Angabwana.
Listen, let me, I do not understand where we should start.
No.
At which age, level, and think who should do that. You know, this YouTube. YouTube is where you see, you get also these things that kids play with, this TikTok or whatever those things. Right? And many other comics. Is it this where you get those things?
Sometimes.
Can you create those things on the, like the one that you normally, you know, when you switch on the TV for the kids?
Yeah.
So they know those comics and
you're talking about the cartoons, cartoons,
yes.
Yeah.
Those cartoons. And there was a time Karen was telling that most of those things, how the 5 years old, I mean 8 years old, children, 9, 10, they are creating millions of dollars. They you know, those who have done those cartoons. And they were kids, actually. 11, 8, 9, 10. How did this kid get that knowledge and the skill to do that thing and bring that money?
Well, Angabwana, firstly, the one about a child making a cartoon, Angabwana, I haven't heard of it yet. But the discussion point I had on for now was about the richest, or let's say the biggest, the person earning the most from YouTube is actually a child that's like, should be now 12, but it's because of the parents. The parents were buying toys for the child, and they would record the child just playing or interacting with the toy. Because most of the people that generate those cartoons are actually adults.
Okay, these are
people that had to study animation, had to study technical drawing, you know, all those things that we had to go through on school, you know, just to help you with your imagination. Those are mostly the adults. Mm-hmm. So in terms of children producing their own cartoons, I haven't seen.
Because I have got a notebook, yes, I think 2 years ago when Kevin was presenting those things. And I've even indicated the countries and this other one, this and this. And then the age of the children, they were just there, 12, 9, 10, you know. I don't know whether they were now using a simulation, those things created by the parents, the adults, or whatever. So, but the other thing that I wanted to say is also the abuse on those platforms that we're just mentioning. So maybe there is better because you can remove, one can be removed or blocked and things like that. But in here, in this other platform where your voice is voidable, I mean, you know, you can hear your voice and all these other actions and things like that, how do we minimize it?
Well,
abuse, well, especially even on this cyber bullying and things like that. How do we minimize these things?
Angabwana, it depends actually for what platform it is. If you have a specific example, then I can assist perhaps just in explaining how it can be done.
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't have a specific example as such, but in many other platforms, most especially this type of platform, ours, are like ours, you know, the way we normally in the radios and other things like that. That's where we normally have a problem.
Well, it'll mostly be like almost like being in public, Angabwana, where You'd just be, you know, everyone would know not to. However, so yeah, like, yeah, Angabona, yeah, I think people have forgotten that sometimes on a or either platform because sort of like doing
the opposite sometimes happens on WhatsApp sort of like, platforms,
including any nudity for that sense. So it's almost like it's almost like unwritten rules, but rules that everyone knows.
And you see some of the derogative languages where you seriously see that this particular person is actually intruding in someone's rights, someone's way, and things like that. So, nevertheless, maybe there's also a need for education. Since this one, you find people who are just, you know, tolerant like that, and they don't take up this, they don't call these things into question and take action against those who are doing that. But maybe we also need to just understand that this kind of language and things like that are not allowed on platform where, you know, otherwise they are tantamount to abuse and insult and, you know, derogatory.
Exactly, exactly. Angabona, I'd like to thank you for coming through because we've actually now...
All the best.
Thanks a lot. And on that note, dear listeners, this brings us to the end of today's session here of the Tech Eagle on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Stay tuned as my colleague Sally is looking at me and staring holes into my head as we will now head over to the brand conversation. Then after that, you can catch the Andrew and his team, which includes Justicia as well as also Rudolph, in terms of the On The Radar news bulletin to bring you your daily bulletin items here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shelf life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811-660707. This is a fest for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the Great White.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massive?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean on the silver platter
in terms of the infrastructure.
You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.